I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe performer and playwright Dan Hoyle. He's performing his one-man show, Each and Everything, at the Lenzic Center for Performing Arts this Saturday, the 21st of March at 7 o'clock. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this is a one-man show, but you have so many different characters you play, and it sounds like you're telling a lot of different people's stories. How did you come to do this piece and tell all these different stories?
Well, yeah, that's smart of you to say that. You know, people sometimes say, oh, you're a monologist. And I always find that to be a strange term because I don't feel like I go on stage and talk for, in this case, 75 minutes. I feel like all these characters go on stage and talk, and I just play them. And so this show started as me being interested in how digital media was changing the way we perceive our news and get our news and share information. And about halfway through it, I realized it was part of a much larger thing, that the whole transformation from analog to digital in every aspect of our lives. And my end had been, I always get newspapers. I still subscribe to newspapers. I'm the only person probably in my 30s who still does. So that was my initial end. And I realized, well, it's kind of me personally. So that part of the show is now whittled down to an R&B love song to a newspaper. And the show then became this look back into why I do what I do. And then I went back to 2003 in Chicago when I was hanging out with the corner boy drug dealers and my first research. And then it became, what is happening? Why is it happening? And I went to a digital detox retreat in Northern California for a long weekend. And I went to Calcutta, India, and got down with the coffee house culture there.
Let's talk about this digital detox for a moment. I was going to ask you whether that's a real thing. What's that all about?
Yeah, so it's funny because people after the show, they ask me, was that real? And I said, yeah, that was real. I went there. So I found it because I started reading all this literature, you know, like Sherry Turkle's book, and Nick Carr's book, The Shallows, Sherry Turkle's book, Alone Together. And I started getting freaked out because there's all this neuroscience. It's basically saying that we are changing the way our brains work. For instance, reading online is not the same as reading on the printed page. We much more often do an F pattern of reading. So reading a line, then scanning down, and reading a line, then scanning down online. I mean, it also, the way when we take tons of photos and don't look at them later in sort of a meaningful way, the way we used to with photo albums, and now we take like 500 photos and download them, and don't really think about them. Those memories don't become long-term memories. They go into another compartment in our brain and become short-term memories. And it's only the long-term memories that give us this deep, emotional connections and meaningful experiences that inspire our creativity. So I started freaking out about all this stuff. And I met a guy, and he seemed incredibly happy and balanced. And I said, where are you coming from? And he said, digital detox. And so about a month later, I found myself at this retreat, you know, and this guy says, hey, oh, are you late? No, I don't even know what time it is. Yeah. Welcome to the digital detox. Give me a hug. No, other side so our hearts can touch. And it was this kind of this mix of kind of hilarious, but also kind of profound experience about what we're going through in our times. You know, people would talk about their experiences, and there was this kind of teched out guy who's like, actually just signed up on digital today. I signed up on 4 business deals on my phone. That's why I signed up digital. I just hear like metal grinding, electronic noise in my head because I'm always on. I'm always working. I grew up poor on a farm, so if I stop working, I'll just be poor. So I just work. Yeah, but the other day I was like standing in line to get coffee, and I realized like all 12 people were like staring at their phones. So I start like texting my girlfriend, and then I realized that I'm staring at my phone, and then it hit me like, what if everyone is talking about everyone else, but like no one's saying anything to anyone? And so it was like this really interesting mix of like people started saying, wait a second, what's going on? And a lot of people that lived and were deeply immersed in that tech culture.
One of the things that struck me about this play, about this piece that you're doing on Saturday, is the theme of staying open to people, to the smells and the sensory experiences around you, to yourself, to your experience, not only when you're 20, but when you're 30 and as you get older, and the relationship between that and this, like, staring at the phone thing.
Yeah, definitely. One of the main characters of the show is my best friend, Pratim, who we kind of created this idea, or maybe rebranded this idea that you're talking about, and we call it Open Time. We kind of first thought about it. We're on this road trip, and we're driving across the country. This is back in 2003, and I'm freaking out because I'm saying like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get a job, and Bertine's. And I failed to get a job in Chicago, basically, because the only thing I'd listed on my resume was Microsoft Word proficiency, because I was a theater major. And for teams saying, man, don't worry about that. I mean, you could try social work, but then you'd have to learn Microsoft Excel, and you might fall behind in Microsoft Word. And you just have to tell people stories. And so then we kept talking, and we had just gone to this place in Holdridge, Nebraska, this middle of nowhere town, and we had walked into this old hotel and sat down and talked with these two guys for like an hour. And this one guy had never been to Chicago, and he talked about that was where the train. He was really into trains, and he heard they have a above ground train. The other guy was actually the regional organizer for the Republican Party all over Nebraska, and we just sat there, you know, me and my Indian friend Pratim, you know, afterwards just saying, man, those people are nice, but I could tell the whole time they just want to know I'm Muslim. And finally I looked at him and said, man, life is short, and so, and I am not. And that like blew his mind. And so we talked about this concept of open time, and I go back to 2003, and that is something that sort of inspired me to do what I do, which is just being present with people, because I feel like being present with people then allows us to deeply perceive who they are, and that is sort of the key to empathy, and that's the key to sort of getting out of this solipsistic age that we find ourselves in, you know.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the craft of what you do. First of all, were you trained as an actor?
Mm-hmm. I went to Northwestern, and I studied performance studies and history. So our MO was to create our own work. And I've also studied as an actor, and my dad's an actor. And the interesting thing is, I feel like, and I always go out into the world and try to get people's stories, and so there's sort of a journalistic component to it. I call what I do journalistic theater.
Yeah.
And so while I'm getting the stories, I feel like I'm trying to understand how people think and feel, and then it's kind of the same process as an actor when you're then creating these characters. And some of these characters are composites. I do some of my own writing as well. But it's all in service of the larger truth of my experiences. But I find that those two things are actually quite similar, because you're really just trying to understand how somebody thinks and feels, and then and then convey that.
Do you remember what people say? Are you surreptitiously recording? It feels very authentic, some of these conversations, but I'm guessing that you aren't taking out your recording device when talking to some kind of like Aryan Nation guy in Nebraska.
Right. So that happens. I go back to that moment as well in the show, which is a very scary moment because the guy was really threatening me. And I thought it was the first time in my life that I'm going to get my head kicked in. You know, in that case, I went back to my hotel. Spoiler alert, I did not get my head kicked in. I went back to my hotel, and I wrote down everything that he had said. And I do have a pretty good memory for quotes, but I often do record people audio. So, like, when I went out to Chicago and started doing research on the Kornburg drug dealers, I wanted to because I'd see them every day. They were my age. We were like walking on these same streets, but I felt like we were in two different worlds, and I wanted to know their stories. And I walked up, and this guy said, "What's up, Mo? I'm Coco. What you need? You want to do a play about us? Gonna be a ghetto play or some Broadway type stuff? Because I do love me a good musical." And then he went on to say, you know, when I'm meeting him, you know, we were hanging out in a stairwell, and he says, "Hold up, I think I've seen you before. I think I've seen you on the slave ships. See, they call me African American, but I do believe I got a little cream in my cafe. So I'm thinking maybe one late night, your great-great-granddaddy got all sweet up on my great-great-grandmama. And maybe I ain't forgot. But seeing you a gentleman, must have been he was too. So maybe we just really long-lost cousins."
And he really said that.
He said first thing when I met him, he said, you know, "I think I've seen you on the slave ship."
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just this dramatic moment. So, you know, there I'm in the show. There's about 10 minutes of Chicago 2003 stuff, and there's some of that stuff is compressed and some of the stuff is pulled from other characters, and there is some of my own writing, but it's always trying to make it more complex and more representative of what I experienced as opposed to less if I'm putting my own twist on things.
Right. I mean, I was thinking I saw some of the performance and read it as well, and it really strikes me that the conversations that happen between you and strangers are directly a result of how open you are at any given moment. I mean, some of the things that happen to you wouldn't happen if you weren't living in that open time.
Well, that's great, because I sort of hope that the show and kind of all my work is kind of inspiration for people to have their own adventures and experiences. You know, I'm not trying to tell people you need to live this way, you need to do this thing, you need to sign this petition, but I hope, and that's why it starts, you know, you start with this Aryan Brotherhood guy, and that's sort of our worst nightmare of what happens when you talk to strangers. But as you see in the show, is this kind of a really intense moment, I'll let people come see that in the show. But
yeah,
you're right to say that I think there is a mode of being open that invites those experiences. And a lot of people say, "Well, hey, you know what, I'm really shy, like I have trouble talking to strangers," and I totally get that, but I find that even if you put away your phone in a public setting and just look around and make eye contact and are present, there is a level of engagement that allows that interaction to maybe happen.
Now, what about on stage? I mean, I was thinking that even with a whole lot of craft and practice, it's got to be incredibly vulnerable for you to do these performances on stage in front of hundreds of people. Are you living in that open space when you're performing?
Well, you know, I think there is a sort of a secular church aspect of theater. It's one of these last few experiences where we get together in a room and have this communal experience together. And it can be very powerful. And actually, this show, I feel like more than ever, I often kind of, right before I go on, I stand in the wings and put my arms up and kind of say to the audience, "Hey, let's go on a journey together. Let's do this. Let's," because the more that the audience comes with me, the more rewarding it is. But the more they come with me, the more I'm allowed to just act and be in the world. So yeah, there is definitely, especially in a solo show, the audience is the other presence in the room.
What is your relationship now after all of this with digital technology and that whole kind of digital zombie craziness that we have here in this country?
Well, it's funny. I meet this guy, Manny, in New York, and he says, he's talking about, he talks about getting on Facebook. He didn't want to get on Facebook. And he's like, now I'm on Facebook, and all these people from the past are like, "Hey, Manny, how's it going? Your family looks great," And I'm like, "Yeah, thanks. So glad, we can catch up without really catching up, because, my life's a nightmare, but everybody's posting, like, I got a promotion. I'm going to the Bahamas. I got a new bike. I can't be like, I'm depressed. I'm living in a motel in Jersey. Like, check out these new photos of these ice machines." Nah, man, it's supposed to be positive news. Nobody likes negative news. Okay, some people do, man, I'm trying to face my problems, not Facebook my problems. And, it's funny because I'm a young person. I live in this world. And so, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. I'm not against those. I think it's about intentionality and, doing it with a purpose. It's sort of hard to figure that out. But for me, a lot of it also is, it makes a lot more sense to do it at home, but I think this thing that has happened where we now have these computers in our pockets, computers, TV screens, in our pockets that we can take out at any moment, so that in public we're on Facebook liking our friends' things when there's all these other people around us, and then we go home to our environment in our private space. So it's like public space sort of becomes private, and then in a weird way, private space is becoming public because we're putting all of our information online.
Yeah. We're talking to Dan Hoyle, and he's a performer and playwright, and he'll be at the Lensic this Saturday, the 21st of March at 7 in the evening, performing his one-man show, Each and Everything. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte. Really appreciate it.